don't you want to enter in this morning? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Watching my grandson this morning when he got through singing that song, he went, amen. Don't you want to respond to the Holy Spirit this morning? Don't you want to enter in? Hallelujah. Aren't you glad you can enter in this morning? Why don't we just take a moment to enter in? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, praise the name of the Lord. Amen. If you'd like to turn your Bibles to 2 Kings, I want to say it's so good to see everybody in God's house this morning, all the home folk. We're so glad to have those that have been for several weeks been worshiping with us. So good to have you. It's good to have others this morning. Bill, that's your mother that's come in, isn't it? Amen. Good to have you this morning. Amen. And got Ryan Michael's family, Rachel, with us this morning. Good to have them. Amen. Aaron Maggard, would you like to introduce your guest to us? Okay, good to have you folks this morning. Good to have you. Amen. Maybe someone else has a guest this morning. Praise the Lord. All right. Good to see everyone. I didn't want to mislead anyone. I revival was scheduled to meet or to start today, and our evangelists can't make it until tomorrow evening. And you're kind of stuck with your pastor trying to preach as an evangelist today. Amen. I just want to see the Lord move. I know you've been hungering after God and praying and seeking the Lord. And I tell you what we need to expect. We just need to expect God to show up and do what only God can do. Amen. Let's expect that. Let's seek Him. Come early to pray tonight before service. And we'll say more about the upcoming week of revival and the winter warm-up on the weekend and all of that. We'll say more about that this evening. So if you'd stand this morning for the reading of God's Word, 2 Kings chapter 13, verse 14. Now Elisha was fallen sick of his sickness whereof he died. And Joash, the king of Israel, came down unto him and wept over his face and said, O my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. Or just straight out, he was saying, you're the one that's been defending Israel from her enemies. You're the one that's been winning the victories for Israel. You, man of God, it's your walk with God, your communion with God, your prophecies from God that's been defending Israel and winning the victories. Verse 15. And Elisha said unto him, take bow and arrows. And he took unto him bow and arrows. And he said to the king of Israel, put thy hand upon the bow. And he put his hand upon it. And Elisha put his hands upon the king's hands. Now, I'm not going to have time to preach this part of it this morning, but Elisha is the representative of God. And Joash the king is instructed to do something, so Elisha puts his hands on top of his hands to say, God's going to get involved in this. Don't you like it when the Lord puts his hand upon your hand? Maybe you're singing, he puts his hand upon your hand. Maybe you're praying, he puts his hand upon your hand. Amen. Amen. You can have that experience this morning. I must proceed here. Verse 17, and he said, open the window eastward, and he opened it. And then Elisha said, shoot. And he shot. And he said, the arrow of the Lord's deliverance, and the arrow of deliverance from Syria. For thou shalt smite the Syrians in Aphek till thou have consumed them. Then he said one other thing, verse 18. He said, take the arrows. And he took them. And he said unto the king of Israel, smite the ground with the arrows. And he smote thrice, one, two, three. And he stayed. He quit. And the man of God was wroth with him and said, thou shouldest have smitten five or six times. Then hadst thou smitten Syria till thou hadst consumed it. Whereas now thou shalt smite Syria but thrice. Verse 19, the man of God was wroth with him. Why? Because he put no zeal into it. He put no passion into it. He put no enthusiasm. He just perfunctorily, mechanically, 1, 2, 3, and stopped. And the man of God was wroth, said, you had no zeal in what you did. You had no passion in what you did. I want to minister the Lord's help this morning on this question. How bad do you want it? Now, I want to tell you two things about this title. Number one, I know the correct English is to put the L-Y on the adverb, and it's really how badly do you want it. But in our vernacular, this idiom is put this way, how bad do you want it? And it has a special ring to it. Secondly, after this was placed on my heart, someone that's very popular on Facebook this week in our circles posted on this very thought, how bad do you want it? I want that to be the question that we have in our hearts today as we proceed in the preaching of the word. Would you pray with me and for me this morning? Could you just stretch forth the hand this way? Pray for the evangelist this morning. Would you do that? Father, we pray that you would speak to us. Lord, you've been stirring our hearts. You've been preparing our hearts. Your people have been seeking you. God, we're hungry for a manifestation of your glory. Lord, there's impossible situations in the house this morning. But God, you are a God who specializes in impossibilities. Lord, anoint me with your anointing. Close up my mind with nothing but the truth. Lord, remove every distraction and move mightily in this service this morning. God, it takes your stirring. It takes your moving. It takes your touch. And we pray for that this morning in the name of Jesus. Amen, our Lord and Savior. And everybody said amen. You can be seated. Church, you're familiar with me, and you know I think in silly ways sometimes, and every once in a while, just to see if folks are with us in the service, I do that little thing I started as an evangelist years ago. I'll say, lift your hand. And before I get the next thing out, people just lift their hand. And I say, lift your hand. If you're halfway happy, you might be saved. Oh. Now, you may think that that's just sarcasm. I actually don't have a sarcastic bone in my body. But I don't do that for sarcasm. I think, you know, when you make such a statement, that's exactly where some people are at in their Christian experience. They're just halfway happy, and they're not even sure they're saved. I think it speaks to the lack of enthusiasm amongst God's people. Amen. Maybe they had encountered God in years past, but now they're half-hearted about their walk with God. They're half-hearted in their worship. I don't know how you feel this morning, but I think we ought to be overjoyed to know that we're saved. None of this halfway happy that we might be saved, but overjoyed to know we're saved. I'm talking about a zeal. I'm talking about hearts that overflow, enthusiastically serving God, worshiping the King. Amen. In so many cases, the lack of enthusiasm is revealed on how little we put into our worship. A lack of enthusiasm, how little we put into our praying, how little we put into our singing. The zeal's not there. The enthusiasm's not there. Last Sunday night, in the middle of the snow, those that came out, I preached the challenge to seek the Lord. And right when I left the prayer room, or right before I left the prayer room, I added one line. And I told myself, I want to end with that line. And for some reason, I never got to it. But the line I, by impulse, had added to my notes to end with was this statement. I wanted to say to us on Sunday night, you can have it if you really want it. You can have it if you really want it. Amen. For some reason, I never got to that line. But all the beginning of the week, starting Monday morning, I kept thinking about that line, and a question started coming to me. The question I used as a title, do you want it bad enough? Do you want it bad enough? Where have I heard that before? And I began to think about it, and I realized I've heard it because today, life coaches and motivational speakers, they use that when they're talking about succeeding financially, and they use it when they're coaching somebody in weightlifting or in weight loss, and or they're coaching an athlete to be a star. They'll keep using that line as motivation. That question, how bad do you want it? How bad do you want it? I did a quick search, and there's a video that has gone viral. It so far had 36 million views, and the title of it is How Bad Do You Want It? Amen. Now they're talking about losing weight, building your body, being financially successful. But I want to ask this morning of the people of God, how bad do you want it? What are you talking about? I'm talking about spiritual victory. How bad do you want it? Revival. How bad do you want it? The fullness of the Spirit. How bad do you want it? Deliverance. How bad do you want it? To see your lost loved ones saved. How bad do you want it? To see a revival amongst the youth. Hallelujah. I felt compelled when I began to go over that question. I felt compelled to revisit the story I read, stuffed back in the pages of the Old Testament. I mean, it's really a unique story. And you have to ask yourself, why did God have that story, that unique story, that unique little incident? Why did he have it recorded in the Bible? Amen. I'm sure there's a lot of reasons. But I'm sure one of the reasons he put that story way back in the Old Testament is to speak to us this Sunday morning with the question, how bad do you want it? Do you want it this much? 1, 2, 3. And stop. Or do you want it this much? How bad do you want it? Amen. Let's look at this story briefly. Verse 14, Elisha was fallen sick of a sickness whereof he died. And so the king of Israel, Joash, came to visit him. And when he could tell the man of God was dying, the king, and he wasn't a very godly king at all, the king began to weep over Elisha. In fact, the tears fell upon the man of God lying in his bed. Amen. Now, why is the king weeping? You got to understand something. This is the last story of Elisha's life. This is the closing scene of the prophet's life. And as a prophet, Elisha had shown the people of God the power of God. Amen. Fire. Amen. Raising the dead. Miraculous provisions. Telling Israel the things that were discussed in the enemy's general and king's tent. Victory had come to Israel through the man of God. They had seen the power of God through the man of God, Elisha. Do you realize for 65 years he had always been there? Elisha had always been part of the scene, pointing to God, drawing people's attention to God, showing the 65 years. He is now over 90, maybe 92 or 93, and he is dying. These are his last breath. Amen. And Joash comes and begins to weep. Yes, because the prophet is sick and dying, but also he knows that it's only been this man that has stood between Israel and ruin, stood between Israel and complete spiritual decay, stood between Israel and the judgments of God. And the man of, or the king of, is weeping and saying, what are we going to do? Elisha is dying. Amen. I want to make the point this morning. At least Joash wept. wept. You know why? Here's the important thing to gather from that. Amen. He realized that an era, he realized that a spiritual possibility was passing away with Elisha. Could I tell you, there is a generation today that if they only realize that the ones who have brought spiritual victory to the church are passing away, just like Elijah. I might not have said that real clear. Let me say it again. Amen. There's a generation that knew how to bring spiritual victory to the church, and it's quickly passing away, just like Elisha. Amen. Joash wept, said, what are we going to do? The Elishas are dying. Those that knew how to liberate a service, those who knew how to intercede until they touched heaven, those who knew how to move with the Holy Ghost and bring deliverance. Amen. The Elishas are passing away. I don't know how you feel. Amen. I think it's time we weep. Amen. And say, what are we going to do? Amen. God, raise up some Elishas. God, move upon the current generation. How bad do we want it? Elisha's passing away. How bad do we want it to continue what Elisha has brought to us? And so Elisha said, let me tell you how to have victory, Joash. He stopped the crying. Get your bow and arrows. And he did. And Elisha put his hands upon it and said, shoot out the window. Now that's the eastern window. That's the direction of the advance of the conquering Syrian armies. And so he shot that arrow by faith in the direction of the armies. They weren't there yet. The Syrian armies weren't there yet. You couldn't see them yet, but they were coming from the east. Shoot that arrow in that direction. Amen. He shot it. And Elisha said, you just shot the arrow of the deliverance of the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. You say, it's kind of foolish. That arrow just hit the ground outside the window. Yes, sir. But it was done obedience to the Lord. And it was symbolic that God is the one that brings deliverance. May we know, none of us make the mistake to realize this morning, if deliverance comes, it's going to come from the Lord. Amen. We're not going to shoot out the window, but I think we could put some arrows up this morning. Hallelujah. Towards heaven and say, God, you're the source of all deliverance. Oh, but the man of God wasn't finished. He said, now take the remaining arrows and strike the ground with them. And I've already illustrated, but Joash, he went 1, 2, 3, probably about like that. And he stopped. That was it. That's all he put into it. Amen. You know, by this time, even Elisha's speaking about deliverance. By this time, Joshua ought to have been excited. He ought to have been thrilled. Deliverance is coming. Revival's coming. God's going to move. By that time, he should have taken those arrows and just went to town. Amen. He should have continued on with such zeal that Elisha had to tell him and stop. But even when Elisha's talking about deliverance, he's half-hearted. No passion, no zeal. Amen. No enthusiasm. 1, 2, 3, I'm done. Amen. The man of God is wroth and said, you should have struck the ground 5 or 6 times. Then you wouldn't have had just an initial victory. You would have had victory after victory after victory. What was missing? It was enthusiasm. The man of God is rebuking Joash for his lack of enthusiasm. He didn't use these words, but Elisha might as well said to Joash, you sure don't want this very bad, do you? You sure don't want victory very bad, do you? It was a rebuke. I think the question is this morning, how bad do we want it? How bad we want something is revealed in our level of enthusiasm by which we go after it. I said, how bad we want something is revealed in the level of enthusiasm how we go after it. Oh, does anyone have your heart being stirred that you want to go after it this morning? You want to go after what God has? Oh, hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. I know I got to move forward, but I won't tell you, when that woman was so weak she couldn't get out of the bed, at least she had enthusiasm. At least she had passion. She didn't walk a few steps and go back to bed. She kept on pressing in spite of every obstacle until she pressed her way through the crowd and touched the heel of it. Why? She wanted it bad. I said, she wanted it bad. Hallelujah. Amen. they told blind Bartimaeus to shut up that crying. Amen. As he sat there begging, began to cry out, Jesus, have mercy. They said, be quiet. Bartimaeus kept hollering out, oh, Jesus, have mercy. Why could you not quiet Bartimaeus? Because he wanted it bad. I said, he didn't just go 1, 2, 3 and quit. Oh, he had a zeal to it until the master stopped and healed his eyes. And so Joash mechanically went through the motions. His heart was not in it. He didn't want the victory that God wanted to give. He didn't want the victory that Elisha wanted him to have. He had no enthusiasm for what God had to give because he realized that came with something. Joash was living like the nations round about him, living worldly, living for self. And he realized to really get God involved was going to call for a commitment on his part. You see, the thing is, he wanted victory, but he didn't want it all tied up in God. You know, some people, they want peace, but they don't want it to be tied up in God when they get it. Some people would like things to straighten out in their life, but they don't want it to be all tied up in this God stuff. Some people would really like to have the hope of eternal life, but they don't want it all tied up in this God stuff. That's why Joash had no enthusiasm. He wanted victory, but he didn't want it all tied up with God. But you see, here's the bottom line. There is no victory without God. There is no eternal life without God. There is no salvation. If you're going to get it, it will be tied up in God. Oh, hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. I hope I'm not killing fervor. I hope the fervor's growing this morning. I sent some folks who really do want it. I said, you really do want victory tied up in God. Amen. He had to be thinking. When he went 1, 2, 3, he had to be thinking, what difference is this going to make? That's why, you know, thinking what difference this is going to make. He had no enthusiasm. And having no enthusiasm, he kept thinking, what difference is this going to make? 1, 2, 3 and stop. I'm telling you, the enemy would like to take you down that same line of thinking. What difference does it make? What difference does it make that we had a fast day last week? What difference does it make that we prayed every day? What difference does it make to show up and come to the prayer room? What difference does it make to come every night to revival? What difference does it make to lift my hands in the service? What difference does it make to come to the altar and pray? That's the way the enemy would like to get you to thinking. Oh, hallelujah. We ought not to think that way. We ought to think this way. I want it, and I want it bad, and I'm going to do everything I can. I'll keep putting up my hands. I'll keep taking the trip to the altar. I'll attend the house of God every time I'm able. I'll have those times at home in my prayer closet. I'll keep reading the word because I want it and I want it bad. Hallelujah. Oh, somebody say glory. It will make a difference. This thing we're involved in ought to fill us with enthusiasm. You see, sometimes we become like Joash. He didn't see the point of hitting the floor with arrows and the connection between that and victory. Sometimes we don't see the point because it's not what we're after. Oh, but when it's what we're after, we begin to see the point. Glory to God. Oh, how! Why did we sing that song again this morning? Revive us again. Amen. We sing that before every revival. What difference does it make? I don't see the point, but I'm telling you, if you just had even a smidgen of a desire to see God work, if there was something in your heart that you were hungering for the movement of God's Spirit, you didn't stand today and say, what difference does it make? What's the point? You say, that's a prayer to God. Revive us again. Hallelujah! It wasn't hallelujah. It was hallelujah! Find the glory. Hallelujah! Oh, man! Hallelujah! Find the glory. Revive us again. How bad do you want it? The prophet got angry, but make no mistake, he was exhibiting God's own displeasure on how little Joash wanted victory. I ask myself sometimes, how does God feel about my worship tonight? Have you ever asked yourself that? Amen. We just had a season where we stood. Amen. You might be wishing the pastor had to preach this morning instead of the evangelist, right? Is that what you're thinking? Okay. We've just had a season of standing and lifting our hands and worshiping God. Have you ever asked when you got through, what did God feel about my worship? What did God think about that effort? I got to hurry at Sunday morning. I'm an evangelist. I always tell the evangelists, take your time. Amen. Take your time. Thank you. I will. I remember one time a businessman, I forgot what reason, came visit over the parsonage. I was working in the garage. And I felt compelled to try to witness to him. And yet I was so busy. But I felt compelled to witness to him. So right before he left, I said, well, at least now that you stopped by, you know where the church is. And when he drove off, I said, that was the weakest thing I've ever heard for a witness. Have you ever wondered what God thinks about your worship? What God thinks about your walk? Amen. The man of God, Elisha, was exhibiting, demonstrating the way God felt about Joash's lack of enthusiasm and passion. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Ask yourself the question right now. Amen. How does God feel about your level of worship this morning? How does God feel about your passion or lack of it this morning? Oh, you know what we ought to be sitting here thinking? Oh, God, I want you to see how bad I want it. Oh, God, every time I lift my hands, God, would you see how bad I want it? I know he knows the heart. Amen. Oh, God, when I make that trip to the altar this morning, may you see how bad I want it. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, there's some of us, you're starting to sense how desperately we need God. Nothing else is going to solve the problem. Nothing else is going to help us. Nothing else is going to bring us what we need except a moving of God's Spirit, and something is stirring that says, I've got to have it. I need it. I got to have it. But it goes beyond that. You're saying, I want it. I want it. And I want it bad. I want it bad. You say, wait a minute. But what if Joash did not feel it? Wouldn't it have been hypocritical to act like he did? Amen. What if Joash did felt no enthusiasm? Was he supposed to fake it? Amen. I'm going to tell you, I get that question a lot. Well, I don't feel anything. Amen. Amen. So should he just not done it? Or should he have faked it and act like he did? Amen. I don't know so much about the use of the word fake, but I'm convinced of one thing. If Joash had stopped and thought before he started putting those arrows down, how bad a shape Israel was in, how bad a shape his country was in, how wicked it had become, how it had suffered defeat after defeat, how that mighty army of Syria had already conquered nations. If he had just started thinking how badly they needed victory, don't you think a little bit of passion would have come into it? You see, I don't feel any passion. I don't feel like I want it very. Would you begin to think how badly we need it? Think how badly our country needs it. Think how badly your home needs it. Think how badly your friends need it. Think how badly you need it. Don't you think that begins to put some passion and some oomph in it? Oh, hallelujah. Even I don't know about the word fake, but I believe if he had just got to thinking about how desperately he needed it, if he had engaged himself in the prophet's command with all his effort, I think he would have begun to feel it. In other words, instead of saying, what's the point? If Joash said, I don't really understand why he's asking me to do this. I really see no connection between this and victory. But the prophet, speaking for God, asked me to do it. Therefore, I don't feel a thing, but I'm going to do it with everything that's in me. Hallelujah. I don't feel it, but I'm going to do it. Don't you think that somewhere, hallelujah, maybe the fifth time, maybe the sixth time, something would have surged through his soul. Suddenly, he'd begin to say, I feel it. I feel it. I want it. I want it. You say, I don't understand that preachers ask us to lift our hands and worship God again. I don't understand. We need to move on with the service. Amen. I don't understand. Maybe not. Amen. But if you'd say to yourself, there must be a reason that God is speaking to us about worshiping. I don't feel anything, but I'll lift my hands. I'll say glory once. I'll say glory twice. I'll say glory, glory, glory.
glory. I say hallelujah, hallelujah. I say Lord, oh hallelujah. Don't you think that somewhere something would begin to stir? I want to tell you, if you can't want it for yourself, you ought to want it for somebody else. Hallelujah. People need the Lord. They got to have it. Oh, come on. Lord, touch us this morning. If I want it, I'll be enthusiastic, passionate, zealous, excited about worship, about the Word, about the church. I know I've got to move forward this morning. I want to tell you, there's always been that debate there. I was wrestling with it last night. Because in a sense, a move of God only comes from God. It's sovereign. His will, His time, His way. We can go through machinations, and that ain't going to make it happen. Where's the balance? Well, it's getting close to spring, and I thought I know it's old, and we're not farmers anymore. But I got to thinking about a farmer. He can't make it rain. He can't make the sun shine. He can't make the seed germinate. Right, Michael? He can't make the soil be the right temperature, but he can plow the soil. He can get the plow out, hook it to the tractor. He can plow the soil. He can plant the seed. Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. I said, he can't send the rain, but he can plow the field. Glory to God. I can't make God move. He's not going to move on my timetable. He's not going to move according to my little agenda. I'm telling you, I can't make God move, but I can plow my heart. I can't cause the victory to happen, but I can strike the ground. I can't make all of heaven come down, but I can lift up my hands towards heaven. I said hallelujah. I can't save an individual, but I can preach with all my heart towards them. Amen. I can't fill anybody with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, but I can get in and pray with them. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I can't bring any victory to any soul, but thank God I can sing with a passion. He set me free. He set me free. Hallelujah. What is enthusiasm? For this morning, enthusiasm is a mixture of desire and determination. I want it. So how should I think to myself this morning? Are you hearing me across the building? How should I think? I should begin to say, I want it more than my hurt feelings. I want it more than my pet peeves. I want it more than I was expecting that good evangelist to be here this morning and pastor preach to us of all things. I want it more than that. Hallelujah. I want it more. Come on, church. I want it more than lazing around in the evening drinking iced tea and watching my favorite program when the church is having revival. I want it more than going to see that certain movie. It's just going to be more trash. I don't care the technology they put into it, the budget that they have. When it's all said and done, it's going to be trash. It'll trash your mind. And I want it more than that new movie I wanted to see. Hallelujah. I want it. Oh, come on. I don't know. You fill in the blanks. I want it more than my doubt. I want it more than my discouragement. I want it more than that sin I've been trying to hang on to. I want it more than anything. That's how bad I want it. Oh, hallelujah. You may not want it bad, but let me remind you something. You may not want it bad, but Satan doesn't want you to have it either. Amen. Remind yourself of every time you begin to think, well, I don't really want spiritual things. You're exactly on Satan's side of agreement, because Satan's saying of you, I don't want him to have it. I don't want that young lady to have the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I don't want that young man to feel the power of the Holy Ghost until he forgets himself and is lost in another world. That's what Satan's saying. I don't want you to have the thing you need. That's going to be the salvation. I don't want you to have deliverance. I don't want you to be set free. Even Satan's saying, that ought to stir us up. If Satan doesn't want me to have it, that makes me want it all the more. Hallelujah. I want to tell you, second of all, Satan doesn't want you to have it, but God wants you to have it. Hallelujah. I said, God wants you to have it. He's paid the price. He's invested the price. He wants you to have it. He wants you to be saved. He wants you to be delivered. He wants you to be set free. He wants you to be revived. He wants you to know victory. He wants you to know the fullness of God. He wants all heaven to come down. Oh, how bad do you want it? How bad do you want it? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And this, I want to leave with us. I may not want it as I should, but I could want it as I should. Can you think with me for a moment? Right now, I may take assessment, and I may not be wanting this spiritual thing like I should, but I can begin to want it like I should. Lord, I have no real enthusiasm right now, but I want enthusiasm. Lord, I don't have any real passion in my heart right now, but I want passion in my heart. Lord, I don't feel compelled to seek your face right now, but God, I want to feel compelled to seek your face. God, I'm not really hungry for revival, but God, I want to be hungry. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. You may not want it right now, but you can want to want it. Hallelujah. Somebody say glory. Amen. What about it this morning? Do you have fervor for God? Are you willing to do whatever it takes? How bad do you want it? Amen. You cannot want it badly if you do not want it at all. Amen. Just simply to concede that you need it is not to want it. To think it would be nice to have it isn't to want it. Amen. I felt kind of a warning coming to my spirit as I prepared, and I know it's rhetorical, but please hear it. I felt this coming to my spirit to tell somebody, you'll either want it bad or you're going to have it bad in your life. I'm talking about, you'll either want God bad or you're going to have it bad in your life. I'd rather want it bad than to have it bad. Oh, hallelujah. Come on, church. God's trying to stir us this morning. Hallelujah. You say, well, I've struck a few times. I've said a few amens. Well, try it again. Hallelujah. Put your heart into it. You're all into it. You see, I'm not emotional. I'm talking about something more than emotion. I'm talking about seeing a need. I'm talking about a hunger for God. Amen. Hunger for God's not just an emotion. It's a basic need of your soul and your life and your very personhood. A hunger for God. I've got to have God. Of things I've had my fill, and yet I hunger still. Empty and bare. Lord, hear my prayer for more of you. Hallelujah. Many, instead of wanting the real thing, getting the real thing, they go searching for a new thing, a different thing, a novel thing. Would you come, music, so I'll quit. Amen. Amen. When you want it, you'll have an oomph. If you want it, you'll have a zeal. If you want it, you'll have a passion. Amen. Let me ask you one more question. Do you want it more than what you have? Do you want it more than what you have? You don't have to lift a hand, but how many's tired of the same old, same old, same old, same? How many's tired of defeat? How many's tired of being beaten up by Satan? How many's tired of fear and doubt? How many's tired of giving in to the same temptation over and over again? How many's tired of the letdowns, the disappointments? Do you want it more than what you have? Amen. Spiritual indifference has killed many more Christians than out and out sin. Spiritual indifference, spiritual complacency, spiritual apathy has destroyed many more Christians than out and out blatant sin. I want to tell you why. Because when I have a zeal for God, I can overcome the temptation. If I have a zeal for God, passion for God, I can overcome the attack of Satan. If I have a zeal for God, I'll come through the trial. Hallelujah. God does not force feed. He does not force upon us that which we should have. He makes it available for those who will hunger and thirst after it. Could I say it one more time? God does not force upon us what we need, but He does make it available. If you're here this morning and you're not saved, you're not surrendered to Jesus Christ, He'll never force salvation upon you. But He is made through Christ our Lord He has made a full pardon, a full salvation, condemnation-free salvation available. And if you want it, you can have it. Whosoever will, let him come and drink of the water of life freely. Whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Oh, do you want it this morning? Nobody's ever had spiritual victory who did not want it. If I want it bad enough, I'll be in church. If I want it bad enough, I'll worship. Oh, I got to quit. But what if Naaman had have only dipped 3 times in Jordan River? He'd never been healed. Never been healed. Hallelujah. Would you stand? How bad do you want it? Let me read you just a few excerpts. This is one from those life coaches sites. Everybody wants to do stuff. Lots of people want to get in shape, do great things, travel the world, live an adventure, tell a good story with their life. But there's a big difference between saying you want something and wanting something bad enough to do something about it. I heard this adapted for a youth camp, and that was great. But let me tell you in more of its original form. Young man graduated with a financial degree from college. Wanted to be a success, make lots of money. So he contacted a financial guru, very successful man. And he told this guru, he said, I'd like to meet with you and learn some things from you because I want to be successful like you. I want to be a success. I want to make lots of money. And the guru said, fine, meet me at the beach tomorrow at 6 a.m. The man didn't understand that. He thought he'd meet in the guru's office, but he went down to the beach. There the elderly man waited for him. He said, all right, you want to know how to succeed? Yes. You want to make lots of money? Yes. He said, well, start wading out into the ocean. And the young man started off, he's puzzled. He doesn't know what to think. But he wades out and he gets up to his knees and he looks back. He said, this is crazy. He said, I want to make lots of money. I didn't ask you to teach me how to be a lifeguard. And the older man said, keep walking. He followed the young man into the water. Young man would stop. He'd say, go deeper. Young man would say, stop. He'd say, go deeper. Finally, the young man was out to his neck. The older man a few steps behind him on higher ground. And when the young man was out in water up to his neck, the older man grabbed his hair, pulled that young man's head underwater. And that young man, he's flailing, he's fighting, he's scratching. And just before the young man passed completely out from lack of oxygen, the older man lifted him up. And the young man's gasping for air. And the guru says to him in his ear, when you want to be successful as much as you want to breathe right now, then you're going to be able to be successful. How bad do you want it? Oh, hallelujah. Wouldn't you like to begin to desire God as much as your next breath? Wouldn't you desire to want it as badly as you want to breathe? Oh, you say, I don't want, oh, but I want to want it that way. How bad do you want it? How bad do you want it? There are folks here, I believe, this morning who need salvation. There are those that need spiritual victory. There are those that are praying for a victory for somebody else. We have everything from financial needs to healing. And all overarching it all is spiritual needs. How bad do you want it? Oh, hallelujah. I said hallelujah. I know I shouldn't take that illustration this way. Maybe it don't even make any sense. But the whole time I was telling it, I got to thinking about the prophet when he was told to wade out. Hallelujah. How bad do you want it? How bad do you want the glory of God? He waded out to his ankles. God said, go deeper. He went, waded out deeper, deeper until there were waters to swim in. If you want it bad enough, you won't dally in ankle deep wading water. If you want it bad enough, you'll wade on out till you've got to depend on God. You've lost, amen, your control. You've got to depend upon the buoyancy of God. Hallelujah. How bad bad do you want it? Do you need to be saved? Do you need victory? Do you need the fullness of God? If you want it badly, I want you to begin to come. Amen. Feel these altars. And by coming, you're saying, I want it. And I want it bad. I want it. And I want it bad. I want it. And I want it bad. I want to see God move. I want His presence. I desire His touch. Oh, hallelujah. You say, well, I don't really feel that way. Why don't you start coming by saying, I need it. Therefore, I want to want it. I need it. Even maybe you can't say, I've got the passion for it right now. But you can say, you can concede, I need it. I've got to have it. I must have it. I can't go on without God. Oh, that's it, church. Amen. Some of you men may want to come up on the platform to make room. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's fill these altars. Amen. Tell it to God. I want it, God. I want it, God. I need it, God. I've got to have it, God. Oh, if you're lost this morning, your greatest need is a soul change, a heart change. He wants to give you eternal life, forgiveness of sin, a hope of heaven, a hope of the future. Hallelujah.
Do you want it? Want everything God's got for me? What does the word say about it? Says the devil and he will flee. Enough is enough. I'm coming to get myself.
Hallelujah.
What the devil stole from me. How bad do you want it? I want everything God's got for me. What does the word say about it? Says the devil and he will flee. Enough is enough. I'm coming to get myself. Take back what the devil stole from me.
Oh yes, I want it.
How bad do you want it?
How bad?
I want everything God's got for me. What does the word say about it? Says the devil and he will flee. Enough is enough. I'm coming to get myself. Take back what the devil stole from me.
You that are here, just keep striking the ground. You say, I don't feel anything. Keep striking the ground. Keep calling out to God. Not one, two, three, and I'm done. But one, two, three, four, five, six.
I'm coming to get myself. Take back what the devil stole from me. Well, how bad do you want it? I want everything God's got for me. What does the word say about it? It's the devil and he will flee. Enough is enough. I'm coming to get my son. Take back what the devil stole from me.
Oh, let's seek a church. Call out to God.
How bad do you want it? I want everything God's got for me.
Come on, call out to him.
What does the word say about it? It's the devil and he will flee. Enough is enough. I'm coming to get my son. Take back what the devil stole from me. Well, how bad do you want it? I want everything God's got for me. What does the word say about it? Says the devil and he will flee. Enough is enough. I'm coming to get my stuff. Take back what the devil stole from me. How bad do you want it? I want everything God's got for me. What does the word say about it? Says the devil and he will flee. Enough is enough. I'm coming to get myself. Take back what the devil stole from me. Well, how bad do you want it? I want everything God's got for me. What does the word say about it? Says the devil and he will flee. Enough is enough. I'm coming to get myself. Take back what the devil stole from me. Oh, how bad do you want it? I want everything God's got for me. What does the word say about it?